today, as focused as I know to be, I want to speak to you on the subject of giving thanks to your Heavenly Father. Go with me to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. I want to really just deal with verses 12, 13, and 14. I'm going to read probably verses 9 through 14 of Colossians 1. And I believe in the text, 12, 13, and 14, he mentions three things. Well, to always be grateful to the Heavenly Father for. And I find that if we can't be grateful for that, we probably won't be grateful for anything. Now, folks, I'm grateful for the water I drink and for the food I eat. It would take a hog not to be. But I'm not talking about temporal things. I'm talking about, now we ought to be grateful for those, but I'm talking about in this passage today something far greater than the clothes I wear, the food I eat, the water I drink, being giving thanks to your Heavenly Father. Let me begin reading in verse 9. Are you at Colossians 1, verse 9? Amen. For this cause we also... Now, what kind of cause is that? Well, in verse 3, he's given thanks to God and the Father, the Lord Jesus, praying for them because he's heard about their faith, he's heard about their love, and in verse 5, their hope. So because they are a people of faith, love, and hope, for this cause also, verse 9, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you'd walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Now keep in mind verse 9, he's wanting them to have something on the inside. He's wanting verse 10 for it to be seen on the outside, that they'd walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, and that they would be fruitful in every good work and increase in the knowledge of God, and thereby be strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Now, that's what he said thus far. But picking up in verse 12, he emphasizes the part of giving thanks. I want you to be what I just said, but I want it to result in giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet, that is fitting, to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Now, I don't think it'll take me long to say what I feel like God would have me say out of these three verses, but he talks to us here about giving thanks to your Heavenly Father, and he mentions three of the most foundational things that should captivate our hearts and minds that we should be grateful for. Number one, in verse 12, we should always be grateful for the privileges we don't deserve. Look at verse 12. I want you to give thanks to the Father who has made you fitting partakers of the inheritance of the saints of life. You have become a partaker of, he says, the inheritance of the children of light. Now, there's only two types of children. They're children of light and they're children of darkness. And as a result of Adam's race, you are a child of darkness. And when God did what he did through Jesus Christ to redeem your poor lost soul, you were dead toward the things of God, and he translated you. He took you from darkness to light. You have now, having been made partakers of that inheritance, you have been made qualified by God to have part of the inheritance that God would give his children. The Bible says you are an heir of God and a joint heir of Jesus. And anything that God's given Jesus, you're a joint heir with it. Let that dawn on you for just a moment. We just heard the choir We just heard the recitation by Robbie that we'll sing a song that the angels cannot sing. The holy angels have never been lost. They cannot quite fathom what it means to be saved. They have known things about God that would cause you and I to absolutely our hair to stand on end. But yet you and I have experienced things from Him that they've not experienced. When that new song is sung, it will be sung by those that are redeemed. And that will not be angels. That will be mortal men like you and me, whom God set His eyes of affection on according to the good pleasure of His will. I'm telling you, you have a privilege you and I do not deserve. Amazing. Lost angels, fallen angels, are no more or no less damned, that's a Bible word, no more or no less damned than fallen men, but God made a way of redemption for a fallen man, but He didn't make it for a fallen angel. And the Bible says that the angels desire to look into redemption. And my Greek scholar friends say that the word look, when Peter used it, is a word that means not to blink at, but to gaze at and to stare at in absolute amazement. The angels are in a state of wonder and awe that God would love you and me so much to redeem us. You know, at some point in your Christian life, you've thought at least one time, I believe, boy, I wish I could do what the angels do. Now, be honest, you've probably thought that at least one time. Well, there's coming a day when you're going to sing a song, and the angels are going to think, I wish I could sing that. I wish I could know what that is like. You know, in a lighthearted moment, music directors are prone to tease we preachers that we're going to have music when we get there, but there ain't going to be no preaching. Friend, let me tell you something. When we get there and those angels have just gazed and gazed in wonderment, I'm not for sure that one of the angels might say to you, come here, tell me something. I've asked others, I want you to tell me, what was it like to be lost and to be loved with redeeming love and to be birthed and redeemed by His great heart? I'm not for sure you won't corner you up several angels and absolutely glory in what God did to save your poor, lost, damned soul. I think that's a wonderful thing to give thought to. What are these things that we've been qualified by God when He says made partaker of the inheritance of the saints of light? You have the love of a heavenly Father. Are you grateful for that? You have the gift of the Savior's presence. Are you grateful for that? You have the person and the peace of the Holy Spirit in your heart. Are you grateful for that? Jesus said, my peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. When I see the condition of this world and the demon-possessed people that's wanting to blow themselves up and rent trucks and run over people, I had a businessman in this town say to me on the phone the other day, he said, I can't get my head around it. He said, I've seen some people and known some people that mistreated me. I might have wanted to, at some point in a fleeting moment of anger, to do something to destroy them, but I can't imagine wanting to kill somebody you don't even know. Folks, that's depravity. That's exactly what that is. That's demon possession. That's what a child of darkness does when darkness takes over their heart and soul. But we have the peace of the Holy Spirit, and we have a relationship that will never end. Think about that. There will never be a day that you will not be God's child. There was a day you were not God's child. But from the moment of redeeming grace, there will never be another day that you'll not be the child of God. We have a family of brothers and sisters, have you thought about that, who are available to support you, to pray for you, to encourage you, And oh, yeah, in our family of brothers and sisters, there's always one or two obstreperous individuals, and they're hard to get along with. But think about the masses of the people of God who have the Spirit of Christ and who would be available if you just needed something and you could ask them and they'd come minister to you. In the middle of the night, they would come minister to you if you needed it. Think about the joy that's yours. You have been made a partaker. This is part of the inheritance of the saints of light that's yours. We have absolute 100% complete assurance of our destiny when we've drawn our last breath. We know where we're going. And you can't threaten us with bliss. There's a sense in which every one of us want to live a little longer till we think God's finished with us. But you know and I know that when God is finished with us, we are not only ready to go, we want to go. Boy, when I was younger and a child, I would hear about somebody somewhere that lived to be 100 years old. I couldn't imagine living to be 100 years old. I thought that would be the greatest thing that could ever happen, to live on this earth 100 years. Now, I'm being serious now when I ask this question. And it doesn't matter your answer to it. How many do you want to live? Right now, you know you'd like to live to be 100 years old. Raise your hand. There's a few. Where's the rest of y'all's hands? I know where your hand is. Same place mine is. If I can be functional, it'll be fine to live to be 100 years old. But if I can't be functional and God gets finished with me, I have no interest in hanging around here so I can say I've been here for 100 years. Knowing Beth, she'd leave when I was 99. She'd die. She wouldn't be here to have a party for me. You see, folks, there's something more to life than just existing. It's to exist as a child of God, to know that you belong to Him and He belongs to you, and you've received an inheritance that you couldn't live long enough to deserve. It's an inheritance that's been given to you, and nothing can take these blessings away from you. I say to you today, we ought to give thanks to the Heavenly Father because of the privileges we don't deserve. And folks, I've only touched the hem of the garment. Number two. We ought to give thanks to the Heavenly Father in verse 13 because of the perils from which we've been delivered. Now look at verse 13. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. He's delivered us from the power, the domain of darkness. Now, what type of perils have we been delivered from? Let's think about that. Well, He's removed us from the prison and the penalty of our sins. You know, I've been in a few jails in my time. I can understand why it wouldn't take a guy many nights of that to get all he wants, concrete and steel. Every whisper is loud. If you despise noise as bad as I do, you could lose your ever-loving mind in 24 hours being in one. All the clanging, all the talking, all the echoing. I want you to know He has delivered us from the prison of sin. Sin have you in the clutches and you can't get out. Sin have you in the bondage and you can't let go. How many times have I been told as a pastor, "Pastor, I got involved with that. I didn't mean to. I got into it and I didn't know how to get out of it." That's the prison that sin does to anybody. He's removed us from the penalty. The penalty of our sin was death, and the eternal sentence of death was upon us, and you had a debt you couldn't pay. And He paid a debt He didn't owe. And if He hadn't paid the debt, you'd have lived your life and died eternally under the sentence of death, the penalty of death, eternal death. You know, you'll have people that do their best to run from dying. They don't go to funerals. They don't want to talk about funerals. They don't want to be around a funeral. I tell you, death is a bad subject. Let me tell you something. I had a few people ask me the years I helped at a funeral home, "Man, how'd you stand to work around them dead bodies?" Hey, friend, I ain't never had a dead body mistreat me. It's them breathing you got to be mindful of. there's something far worse than physical death. The Bible calls it the last death, eternal death. And we've been delivered from eternal death. You see, now physical death when we die is the shedding of the body, and the soul and spirit made in the image of God goes into the presence of God, because God has redeemed us and has delivered us. Eternal death no longer has dominion over you. Therefore, when a loved one dies, we cry because of the separation, but they don't cry because it's a grand graduation. I never found a college or high school graduate to walk across the stage, shake hands with the principal, the superintendent, or whoever, and get to the other side and just fall on their knees, boo-hooing, "I don't get to go back. I don't get to go." I never have seen that happen. Everybody was proud of that diploma. Praise God, I'm through with that. Let me tell you something. As our loved ones who know Jesus step into the other side, it's a praise God, we're through with that. And now what was by faith is no longer faith. It is now by sight. And everything we had dreamed upon and just read about and longed and wondered about is now ours in reality. I'm telling you, He's removed us from the prison. He's removed us from the penalty. He has defeated the enemy of our souls. Did you know you have an enemy? Did you know that his name is Lucifer? Did you know he's the enemy of God and he's the enemy of those souls that God has redeemed? And you can't defeat him, but greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. There's somebody that's defeated him for you. That's part of what you've been delivered from. He has given us a way to live without the chains of bondage that Lucifer put us in and would hold us in. He had us forever bound. And Christ came to the slave market and purchased us and loosed us from the chains that bound us. And He, the forever King, has forever freed His subjects. And we have been freed from the slave block. We have been set free of the slave market. The stench that was there, all the absolute cursing and all that went with the slave market and the stench and the foul that was there is now gone, because spiritually He has delivered you from that. Do you ever consider, does it ever cross your mind, do you not ponder once in a while, what would have happened to you if God hadn't have stepped into your midst and redeemed your poor, lost, damned soul? Does that never occur to you? You need to think about that. Under condemnation, no hope whatsoever, in chains of darkness, no love whatsoever except temporal love, and God has moved in through the person of His Son to deliver you. The perils from which we have been delivered. Think about it. You ever stop to think about where you'd be today? Beth and I were talking just two or three weeks ago, and I don't know what kind of brought it up. We got to thinking about people was in school with, and I got to sharing with her people that within the first year committed suicide out of my high school graduation class. In the prime of life, 19 years of age, and ended all. No hope. Folks, have you considered how many marriages you'd have had if God hadn't have saved you? Have you considered what you might have done if it hadn't been for God stepping into the existence of your life? Do you ever look back and think, why did that happen to that person and it could have happened to me? I was leading a men's study on a Saturday morning for Papa Sam years ago, as I did his men's conference for two or three years in a row, and we'd have a breakfast, have a Friday night session, have a Saturday morning session, then I'd preach there on Sunday, and one of the men said something to Papa Sam, and he said, "Come here, Wayne." He said, "Tell him that." And he said, "I've just come to realize the magnitude of God providentially looking after us." And I smiled. I said, "Well, somebody may need to put you in a cage for a while, Because when you first realize that you are not the sum total of your good sense and what you've done, you're really the sum total of a merciful God who looked after you when if he'd left you to yourself, you'd have destroyed yourself. And he said, I wondered for a long time when I was in Vietnam, why in the world did my buddy over here get shot and my buddy over here got shot? And I buried my buddies and I dragged their body parts off the war zone. And he said, and somehow the bullets missed me. And he said, if I'd have died then, I'd gone straight to hell. But he said, God got me back home and got me saved. And he said, now I belong to God. And he said, I don't know what you think about that, but he said, I think God just spared me to save my poor lost soul. I said, sir, I'm prone to think the same thing you're thinking. Folks, do you really understand the peril that God has spared you from? Do you get up in the morning with a heart of gratitude to your Heavenly Father, both for the privileges you have you don't deserve and from the perils that you've been delivered? Or do you get up and look in the mirror and sing, how great I am? Folks, you're either what you are because of you, or you're what you are because of a merciful God. I happen to believe it's a merciful God. Last but not least, in verse 13, we ought to give thanks to God and be grateful for the pressures from which we've been freed. Look at verse 13. After he said he's delivered us from the power of darkness, he says he has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Now, to be translated means we've been brought. He's brought us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Would it surprise you if I told you that he really does love his only begotten eternal Son? Would that surprise you? I don't believe that would surprise you. God really loves his only begotten eternal Son. We've been freed from the pressure since he has translated us. We've been freed from the pressure of thinking nobody cares about us, that nobody loves us. Do you know what it's like? I don't know that I do, but I like to imagine these things. Do you know what it's like to have nobody? So many people go through life and they long for somebody's attention and somebody's affection. I've had grown men in their 50s cry because they never got the approval of their daddy. I had a man on a Father's Day be upset with me after I preached a Father's Day message, and he was angry. And I thought, what in the world have I said in this message to make you angry? And come to find out, he wasn't angry really at me. He was angry because of the truths I shared about the importance of a father. And he stood there with tears in his eyes and anger in his voice, telling me that when he was a little boy, his daddy would take him in the truck and park into an alley and leave him in the truck, and he'd go upstairs and he'd meet a prostitute. And when his daddy would get angry, he'd whip him and whip him bad and sometimes whip him with a chain. And he never felt like he ever had his daddy's love. That breaks my heart. Let me tell you something. Everybody ought to have a mama and a daddy's love, but can I give you some good news? If you never got your mamas and you never got your daddies, if you've got God's love through Jesus Christ, you've got the one love that counts and makes a difference. Because let me tell you something. You may not like this, you may not agree with this, but you just have to think about it. You're just dead wrong if you disagree with it. There have been some people who had a decent mom and a decent dad, and they died and went to hell. But nobody ever had the love of God's redeeming love and died and went to hell. If you could just know his loving hand that reaches down to a fallen man and lifts him up from out of sin where he has lived, just to know that God is real. Just to know that your Savior has done something at Calvary to make a difference 2,000 years ago, but it'll make a difference in your life this very day. We've been freed from the pressure of thinking that nobody cares anything about us because we know God does. We are the cherished children of a loving Heavenly Father. He cares about you. He wants to have something to do with your life. He wants to involve himself in your life, and he wants your heart willing to let him involve himself there. He cares for you. He desires you. Isn't it wonderful to be desired? I'm just going to tell you like it is. This may be more information you're wanting. I'd rather be desired by my wife than anybody on the planet. Then I'd rather be desired by our children than anybody on the planet. But if for some awful, strange set of events, I did something or they did something to turn their back, me, my back on them, or their backs on me, if I could know the love of God, if I could know that God cares something about me, I'll make it. You see, folks, the hurt, the scar, the rejection, the difficulty, the pressure, it's only for time. You know, a lot of people want to talk to you about, and I don't mean this in a bad sense, they want to mention, I'm scarred. I've had people say to me, Pastor, I'm scarred. And my response is always the same. I'm very sorry that you're scarred, but can I tell you something that should create hope? Scars are a sign of healing. I've noticed up here on my head, when I was less than 2 years of age, there wasn't anything dangerous in the country, you know. So my mom had taken me one day over to her friend's house, about 2 years of age. She had a baby daughter, a little bit younger than I was. So they prepared by taking a Crisco bucket and putting it full of clothespins for us to play with. Well, some of you in the room are old enough to know that the way you back then you opened Crisco buckets was a big key. That sucker was sharp as a razor. So, as a child will do, my mother said, I guess we're going to have to go because it's getting later in the afternoon and we'll need to get back. And I jumped up, they tell me, and fell right over on the Crisco bucket, and I've got a scar on my forehead because of it. I thank God that's a scar and not a wound. Wounds are a sign there's been no healing. Scars are a sign there's been healing. Now listen to me. People have wounds and people have scars. But the best news I can tell you is that the one who saved you, the one who loves you, the one who cares about you is also known as the great physician. And that wound and that scar will only be for a little time, and then he wants to have you with him for all eternity. And in that place, there is absolute healing and absolute perfection. And no other signs of illnesses and no other sign of anything that's incomplete. We're there in an absolute completeness. We are his cherished children that he cares lots about. I meant to have brought to the platform this morning the words of an old hymn. We may still sing it here some, Beneath the Cross of Jesus. Those words, you need to go home and read. One of the verses says this, Upon the cross of Jesus, mine eye at times can see the very dying form of one who suffered there for me. And from my smitten heart with tears, two wonders I confess. The wonder of redeeming love and my unworthiness. Today, as we look to the Heavenly Father, we want to be grateful for the privileges we don't deserve, the perils from which we have been delivered, and the pressures from which we have been freed. You are loved eternally by a loving God. Don't you want to love Him in return? And don't you want to say thanks to Him for how good He has been? Father, this morning, in this service, we are not as prone to say thank you to you as we probably should be. But today we come again to thank you that you are who you are and that you load us with so many benefits, things we don't mean to take for granted, but we take for granted. Things, oh God, that we don't think about what a pleasure and privilege it is to have it until we meet somebody that doesn't have it. Many of us, Lord, in here today are in this room and we can see out of two eyes. We can hear out of two ears. We still can smell the fragrance of fresh food being cooked by our family members in the kitchen. We still can see the beauty of a flower that grows. We still know what it means to hear the tender words, "I love you." We still know what it means to be comforted by people that care about us and that we care about. Lord, we are so blessed. And today we want to come and say thank you. We want to express that to you. And I would pray today, oh God, that you would do something in our hearts. Lord, it could be that today there's someone here that still has a mom and a dad. They're not as grateful for them as they should be. May today there come to be gratitude for their mom and their dad. It could be, Lord, that somebody else today doesn't have a mom and dad, but they did have a good upbringing and they've not thanked you for that recently. It could be, oh God, that there's a thousand and one other things just like that that should gain our attention, that should elicit from us praise, gratitude, and the giving of thanks. Lord, continue to work in my life. Make me a thankful pastor. Make me a thankful follower of yours. Make me a thankful husband and a thankful daddy. Make of me, oh God, a thankful individual for my friends. May I be mindful that if you had just left me to myself, that's all you'd have needed to have done, just left me to myself, and I'd have destroyed myself. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, oh God. And today, oh Lord, out of your goodness, would you draw somebody to repentance? Would you redeem some lost soul? Would you translate somebody from darkness to light? Would you deliver somebody from the domain of darkness into the domain of the kingdom of your Son? For all you'll do in our lives today and in these coming days, we will truly, Lord, not only tell you thank you, we'll do something to express it to you. We do love you and express our gratitude. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand with me, please? Brother David leads us in this hymn of commitment. This altar is open.